What's going on, guys? Tonight was the first SmackDown coming out of Crown Jewel last Saturday, and we did not have the WWE Champion on tonight's show, nor did we have the United States Champion. Get used to it, because this is going to be the norm here on this show between now and the Royal Rumble. We're not going to be seeing them very often. And yet, despite not being there, despite there being no Roman Reigns and there being no Logan Paul, and there being no John Cena, even Solo Sikoa got the Roman Reigns treatment. He'll be back next week. It was still a very good episode of SmackDown, a very strong episode. I was entertained. I enjoyed tonight's show, including the big angle at the very end. So with all of those names out of the picture, they put the focus, Triple H did, on the women in tonight's main event. We had a six-woman tag. It was Charlotte Flair, Bianca Belair, and Asuka, taking on Bayley, Io Sky, and Kairi Sane, who made her return to the company at Crown Jewel. And they shot an angle to set up what has to be the women's War Games match at Survivor Series, although they did not make it official. Nick Aldis did not come out. He did not announce anything for War Games, but the pieces are now in place. We had Asuka turning on her teammates and aligning with Io Sky, Dakota Kai, Kairi Sane, and Bayley. So Damage Control goes from seemingly being on the brink to now being as strong as it has ever been, which of course I'm sure is only temporary. Damage Control has been teetering on the brink now for a while. But that is how they went off the air tonight. Even Shotzi came out. Which one of these does not belong? Shotzi came out to try to save the day. Even Shotzi couldn't do it. The baby faces were outnumbered. They're outgunned. They're outmanned. Outwomanned. Gotta say it the right way. Outwomanned. But now the pieces are in place. We have a War Games match in the making here with the women on SmackDown. Since the men's War Games match is clearly going to be Monday Night Raw themed, it only makes sense for the women's to be SmackDown themed. And so you look, and on the heel side now, you've got Bayley, you've got Asuka, you've got Kairi Sane, and you've got Io Sky. Dakota Kai, unfortunately, is still not cleared. I don't think she's expecting to be cleared, at least until Royal Rumble time. I think she mentioned that a while ago on her Twitch. Which is too bad, because Dakota Kai had one of the best heel turns of the past 10 years. It actually came during a War Games match, where she turned on her best friend Tegan Knox. And Mauro Ranallo had a fantastic call. I miss Mauro. Moments like that that make me miss Mauro Ranallo. So it will not be Dakota Kai in that match. But it begs the question, if you've got four women on the heel side, you only have three on the babyface side. So who takes up that fourth spot? This is assuming it ends up being 4-on-4. Right now, the men's War Games match on the Raw side is 4-on-4. Now, I expect that to change to 5-on-5. I'm expecting Drew McIntyre will end up with the Judgment Day on their side. On the other side, you know, we'll get Randy Orton or somebody as the surprise fifth member. On the women's side, it may end up being 4-on-4. I'm not sure there's enough there to get them to 5-on-5. Who's number four? Well, there's a woman who's been teased on all of the shows, although she's been missing the last couple of weeks, who's just sort of out there. She's sort of this free agent that's just hanging around. We don't know where she's going to land. She may land on SmackDown. It could be Jade Cargill. Jade Cargill could be the fourth member of the babyface squad. She could make her debut at War Games, at Survivor Series. If not Jade, you know, in looking at the SmackDown roster and who is available right now, you've got Mia Yim, who's not doing anything, and you've got Zelina Vega. That's it. Those are really the only possibilities that you have, unless they call somebody up from NXT. I'm not sure who that would be, but Jade Cargill would be my guess. Zelina's got her own problems to deal with. Unfortunately for Zelina, there's drama within the ranks of the LWO now, because something else happened. There was another heel turn on the show tonight in the form of Santos Escobar, who attacked Rey Mysterio. They didn't waste any time. I mean, they've been teasing something, you know, bubbling beneath the surface for a while. But coming out of Crown Jewel, I said, okay, this is going to be the story that takes us into the new year. it takes us into maybe the Royal Rumble. No, they went right for it tonight. And Santos Escobar, seemingly jealous at all the attention that Carlito has been getting, and Carlito pointing the finger at him for doing what he did at Crown Jewel when he left the brass knucks on the apron for Logan Paul to use, which ultimately won him the U.S. title. I mean, he's not wrong. But it all just created this combustible situation where Santos Escobar could take no more. And he attacked Rey Mysterio. So now we have drama within the ranks of the LWO as well. LA Knight back to his winning ways after losing to Roman Reigns at Crown Jewel. And so anybody out there wondering or saying, oh, LA Knight is buried, he lost to Roman Reigns. Yeah, so is everybody else in the company. It's been 3.5 years. And some of them are doing just fine. You could put LA Knight on that list now, too. He's going to be just fine. He picked up a win tonight, back to his winning ways, on the march to the United States title of WrestleMania. This is your Friday Night SmackDown review for November 10th. SmackDown opened with Kevin Owens coming down to the ring, and he was in his usual gear. Should I even call it gear? It's basically just a cutoff shirt. And, you know, the basic stuff that you would see Kevin Owens wearing. But he had a tie wrapped around his neck that he borrowed from Nick Aldis. Because Owens approached Nick Aldis, and they posted this video on their social media earlier today. Corey Graves was not on the show tonight. For those who don't know, Corey Graves and Carmella, they had a bouncing baby boy. They had their child this week. 60 hours of labor for Carmella, or as I like to call it, 3 Monday Night Raws. So congrats to the two of them. That's awesome. Kevin Owens went to Nick Aldis and said, hey, Corey's not here tonight, so I got nothing to do. I'd love to step in and do some color commentary tonight. And Nick Aldis told him, you know what? I'll let you do that on one condition. You cannot get physical. If you get physical at some point on the show tonight, I'm going to have to suspend you. So as long as you agree to that, you could do commentary on this show. And so Kevin Owens came out and he did commentary. Hey, the Winston slip. Thank you. Thank you for that super chat. Rey Mysterio is out to the ring with the LWO All But Carlito. And they aired footage of Logan Paul winning the U.S. title at Crown Jewel with help from a pair of brass knucks. Rey cut to the chase. He addressed Logan and said that Logan stole his title, as well as all of that money from people in the Crypto Zoo scandal, but we won't talk about that. Stole the U.S. title from him, and he would not have been able to beat him without those brass knuckles. And he said that he would still be the U.S. champion if not for that. He would do everything that he can. And then he was interrupted by Carlito and his shitty new music. Carlito came down to the ring and he said Rey should not be blaming Logan. Logan is not the one that he should be blaming. He said that he should be blaming the man who placed the brass knucks on the apron, which allowed Logan to pick them up and knock him out with them. And that person is Santos Escobar. And, of course, the crowd, they sense some drama here in the ranks of the LWO. And that doesn't sit very well with Escobar. A big argument broke out. Santos was offended by the accusation. So he left the ring. He got him out of here. And he left, and he walked through the crowd over, you know, past the timekeeper's area. And Rey went to go chase after him, and Carlito was left in the ring by himself talking to Cruz del Toro and Joaquin Wilde, and they're sort of not arguing so much, but they're just sort of having a very spirited conversation when Bobby Lashley's music hits and he makes his way out with the Street Profits. Lashley was up next in a singles match, and that match was Carlito against Bobby Lashley. We're doing it like it's 2007. I was transported back in time. Because honestly, Lashley looks exactly the same. Lashley does not look any different. Carlito physically is in better shape than he was even back then. But he still has the big poofy hair. They don't really look all that different than they did 15 years ago. It's kind of weird. Then again, some people say that about me, so maybe it isn't so weird. But we got drama within the LWO, which you had to know was going to happen the way things went down at Crown Jewel. They did cut to a shot early on here of B-Fab. She was watching the match in the back, and of course she had that conversation. She wanted to go have a chat with Bobby Lashley last week, and we don't know what they talked about, or maybe they didn't talk. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there was no talking going on there. I mean, they don't call him the Almighty for nothing. She might have been calling him the Almighty too. We don't know. So Lashley no-sold some clotheslines. He went for a vertical suplex, held him up there for a while, but Carlito landed back down on his feet, and then he delivered a suplex of his own. Carlito clotheslined Lashley over the top rope, and Lashley blocked an attempt to slam him onto the ring steps. Instead, he turned it around, and he rammed Carlito onto the steps instead, and then ran him into the ring post. And that took us into the commercial break. When the show came back, Lashley had Carlito perched on the top rope. Carlito fought his way out of it, hit a shoulder block off the top. They showed Ashanti the Adonis. Can I even call it Hit Row? I was going to say of Hit Row. I mean, there is no Hit Row anymore. It's Ashanti and B-Fab. And B-Fab is clearly making moves to get the hell away from Ashanti, because she can clearly see that that is a path to nowhere for her. So poor Ashanti is all by himself. He wants to know what's up. We see him approaching B-Fab, and the two of them walk out of frame to go have a conversation. Back in the ring, Lashley and Carlito, they were outside. And Carlito rolls him back into the ring. And he goes to follow him in, but Montez Ford grabs Carlito's leg. And that led to the Street Profits brawling with Joaquin Wilde and Cruz del Toro, who are out there in Carlito's corner. Here comes Santos Escobar. Right, we thought he was done. Santos, though, he reemerges. And he fought off the Street Profits. It looked like he was helping out his boy. Amid all of the chaos, Lashley spears Carlito for the win. Now, the match wasn't all that good. Actually, the match was very bland. There was really nothing. I don't know. These two just, they didn't jive well together. Even though they come from another era, I don't remember the two of them ever working together. Unless they had a one-off on television. I mean, it was so many years ago. I don't remember them working a program together or anything like that. These two just didn't really gel well. But I think Lashley winning was the right move, especially with all the dissension now in the LWO and all the chaos that was going on. Carlito can absorb the loss. Lashley and the Street Profits, they're the ones who should be, you know, pushed hard right now. So Lashley winning made sense to me. After the match, the Profits and Lashley, they start beating up Carlito. And Escobar hops up onto the apron, but instead of lending a helping hand here, he elects to just stand there and watch. They play Rey Mysterio's music, and he comes running down to the ring with a chair, which was goofy, by the way. I don't know why they played his music. I thought that was unnecessary. Mysterio then, he scolds Escobar for not helping. What are you doing? You're just standing there. He's being attacked. And Escobar tries to explain to Rey, he's not family. He's pointing down at Carlito, me and you. It's always about me and you, not him. He's not family. And Mysterio got hot, and he shoved Santos, and he's yelling that the LWO is all family. We're all a part of the same family. Escobar looked like he was about to leave the ring, had one leg through the ropes. As he watches Rey kneeling down over on the other side trying to help Carlito, and Escobar has second thoughts. He climbs back into the ring, and he runs over towards Rey, and he attacks Rey Mysterio. Beats him down, which, I did not expect this to happen tonight. We all knew, you had to know, that this is where this was going. But the way they take their time with all these things, they have so many hours of television, so they can, you know, drag things out for a while. Think about the way they drag things out with Rey and Dominic, right? Heading into WrestleMania this year, the Bloodline stuff. I figured coming out of Crown Jewel, they're going to play this up for a while. No. I mean, they just went right to Final Jeopardy, and he went and he attacked Rey, and he grabs Rey, and he's shouting at him about family. It wasn't like, you know, he had this look in his face like he was just filled with rage. It was almost like, again, he was just pushed to the brink and jealous. Basically, that this used to be you and me, and now we're bringing other people into this relationship, and we're complicating things here. like a jilted lover. So he brings Rey to his feet, and Mysterio slaps him hard, actually multiple times. And Escobar took this great bump where he fell backwards, almost out of the ring. I mean, technically he did fall out of the ring, but he didn't fall to the floor. He fell kind of through the ropes, landed on the apron. He was holding his face. And Rey immediately has this look like, oh, what have I done? He feels guilty. So he goes out to the apron to apologize, and he's going to help him up. And Escobar runs him backwards hard into the ring post. And Rey then falls straight down. His leg falls between the ring steps and the ring. So now he's trapped. It looked like he crotched himself in doing so on the steps, which I'm sure didn't feel great. So he falls, again, leg in between the two. And Escobar goes outside, and he kicks the steps into Rey's leg. He didn't kick his leg out of his leg, like Owen that time. He kicked the steps into his leg. Now Zelina Vega's there, and she's nearly in tears, and she's trying to tell Santos, no, 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 we're a family, telling him to stop. And Escobar walks to the back. Now, they went to a break. When they came back from the break, they showed Escobar with his stuff. He was leaving the building, and he got stopped for an interview, and he said that Rey had it coming. I will say this. Rey Mysterio has to stop fighting with his family. This is getting out of hand. First his son, now this. I'm starting to think Dominic was right all along about this guy. So the other point I wanted to make here, it struck me as I was watching this show. Up until the end, you know, Damage Control, seemingly now a united front. But before that, I'm watching this show, right, with the LWO. So we have drama with the LWO. We have drama with the Judgment Day. We've had drama with the Bloodline. We've had drama with Damage Control. We've got drama with Imperium, because Giovanni Vinci is a loser. He's causing problems now with Ludwig Kaiser, right? So we have drama even in Imperium. I'm watching NXT on Tuesday. We have drama with Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. It was an actual melodrama at the end of NXT on Tuesday. There is more drama in this company. You would think there's more drama here than in high school, for crying out loud. But I think the moral of the story here is that family is nothing but trouble. You know, Bobby Heenan used to say a friend in need is a pest. Forget friends. Family, nothing but problems. A heartwarming message from the Sala Monster as we head into this Thanksgiving season. I just thought that you should know. So, again, Escobar came off unhinged. Not that this was something he planned, but just something that he was pushed into, and maybe he didn't want to do it, but he got pushed over the edge. And clearly, Rey Mysterio and Santos Escobar has got to be your WrestleMania match. There's no need for Carlito to be involved, like a three-way or anything like that. Rey and Escobar is the WrestleMania match. Well, now it's November. They've already done the turn, the attack. So now they have a few months to keep things interesting and build to the match. Because that should be the WrestleMania match. That's why I was surprised they pulled the trigger on this now instead of waiting. I'm happy they did. Keeps things moving along. But now I'm curious how they keep it interesting between now and then. But this was always, you know, and here's the other thing to consider about this, right? So this is what I'm expecting next week or whenever we get that promo from Santos Escobar, whether it is next week or the week after that. There have been a lot of clues that this was coming. And one of the biggest things takes us all the way back to, I guess it would have been, well, when would it have been? The end of July, I guess, right? Because it was a little bit before SummerSlam. We had that tournament to crown a number one contender for the United States Championship. And as I recall, in that match, Santos Escobar beat Rey Mysterio. That was the match where Rey got hurt. Legit. They had to call a ref stoppage to the match. He got his bell rung. Something they should have done on Monday with Ricochet. He beat Rey. And then they did an angle where he got attacked. And so Escobar couldn't challenge for the championship. But instead, Rey agreed to take his place. And then Rey went on to win the United States Championship. So in effect, he stole Escobar's opportunity, and he stole what should have been his championship away from him. And I expect that to be brought up in this eventual promo, because you got to backtrack this several months and point that out. That has to be mentioned, I think, as far as this explanation for why this has been building for so long. You stole that opportunity from me, and I bit my tongue, and I did what was right for this family. I said nothing. But this, you know, this is a bridge too far here. You bring this guy in, he's not one of us. Now he's calling me out, and he's blaming me for you losing that title, and you side with him over me, right? That's what I'm envisioning this promo to be. So I look forward to that. I look forward to it. And I like Santos Escobar as better. I mean, not that he's a bad babyface, but he's better as a heel. That's the role that's best for him. So I like that now the pieces are falling into place, and this story is finally moving along. Now, Bayley was out next. We go from one bit of drama to another. Bayley was out by herself to address the future of Damage Control, coming out of Crown Jewel, where we saw the return of Kairi Sane, who helped Io Sky retain her championship. Bayley said that since the inception of Damage Control, she's had a plan for Io and Dakota Kai, women's tag team champions, Ms. Money in the Bank, and WWE Women's Champion. Io has defeated the best in the business, and it's obviously Io's era, all thanks to her plan. She was getting the what treatment at this point, pretty hardcore from the crowd. So she called them out, and she called them idiots, and of course they applauded because they are idiots, and so they kept doing it. And so she brought up Kairi Sane showing up at Crown Jewel, and then she said, what? That was my reaction too. What? 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 So she invited Io to come down to the ring so they could have a conversation like adults. So out comes the women's champion, Io Sky, along with Dakota Kai and Kairi Sane, or as I call her, Kairi Dark. She comes out, she's in all black, she looks great. She came out there looking like she's the leader. She should be the leader of Damage Control, not Bayley. So they come down to the ring, and Io spoke first. She said that she had a plan too. It's Io's era, she said. You remember that? She said she had Kairi to thank for helping her retain her title. Isn't that what you wanted, Bayley? Bayley agreed and said that she wanted the best for her and Dakota, of course. But the last time that we saw Kairi in WWE, this happened. And they threw it to finish footage. They threw it to the finish. Oh, man. Matthew Miller, maybe. You may be right, Matthew. Well, we'll have to make that happen. But she threw it to footage from the episode of Monday Night Raw from July 27th of 2020. That was the episode where Bayley was kicking Kairi's ass backstage. And that was the last time we saw Kairi Sane. So the last time we saw Kairi in this company, she was laid out by Bayley. Bayley said after watching that, you can understand her concern with having Kairi around. Dakota interjected. She said that they didn't bring Kairi into Damage Control to hurt Bayley. It was to make Damage Control even stronger. She said they're very grateful for everything Bayley has done for them. They just wanted to take some of the weight off of her shoulders, and obviously it worked because Io is still the women's champion right now. She said this should be a celebration. So then Kairi spoke, and she told Bayley that she respects her as the leader of Damage Control. And she forgives her. She forgives Bayley for what she did to her. And Kairi threw her arms wide open. Bayley didn't really know how to take it. She said that I don't do hugs anymore. But they all embraced, and Bayley was in the middle, and she was all uncomfortable. Kiddo Hudson, control yourself. Says Bayley was looking good in those hot red pants. Control yourself here. Go take a cold shower. All right? You come back and rejoin the stream a little bit later on. So we had one of these best friend hugs in the ring. They didn't do the zoom out like they do on AEW television. So Bianca Belair's music interrupts. And she said that she doesn't forgive Damage Control. She thought Io had enough confidence to come at her one-on-one for the title, but oops, I was wrong. And so tonight she says she'll have to just whoop all three of them. Bayley says that nobody likes a sore loser. And Bianca said, yeah, but nobody likes damage control. And that brought out Charlotte Flair. And I thought, oh boy, Kyrie, run. Run. I don't know what happened the last time Charlotte and Kyrie were together back at TLC. Didn't end well for poor Kyrie. Bianca said, and guess who else was upset with Kyrie joining Damage Control? That brought out Asuka. And Asuka had some words for Kyrie in Japanese, and then she, well, the announcers made the announcement that our main event tonight would be a six-person tag. With all six women, it would be Charlotte, Bianca, and Asuka taking on Bayley, Io, and Kyrie, with Dakota in their corner. And I thought, angle alert, angle alert, this is going to be the setup for War Games. Yes, Dakota is still hurt. She is not cleared. You see the brace on her knee. She is not cleared. If you would notice, she hasn't done anything physical since she came back to television. And I don't believe that she is going to be cleared at least until January. January or February is what she had said she was maybe expecting. That's what she said on a Twitch stream a few months ago. I don't know if the timeline has been sped up. But my guess is based on tonight, I don't think she got physical tonight either, did she? I mean, let me know, because I don't remember now. Did she join in the beatdown at the end of the show? Like, physically? Was she putting the boots to Charlotte Flair at the end? I don't remember now. I wasn't paying attention to what Dakota was doing. But I don't believe that she is cleared to do anything physical. We had Dragon Lee one-on-one with Cedric Alexander. Now, these two wrestled 2 weeks ago, and Dragon Lee won that match. He won here, too, but this was the better of the two matches here. This was another excellent outing between these two, and at least what we saw that I thought was excellent, because they joined the match in progress. So Alexander hit a dropkick before landing a tope on Lee outside. Back in the ring, Alexander hit a tornado DDT for a two-count. Lee came back and landed a dive out onto Cedric and rolled him back inside, where Lee hit a sit-out power bomb for a two count. No, she did not join. That's what I thought. Yes, so she is not physically clear. She's cleared to be on television, and she can move around just fine. You know, she's training and everything, but she is not physically cleared for any kind of interaction like that. So Dragon Lee charged, and Alexander just absolutely launched him halfway across the ring. Dragon Lee took this fucking amazing bump and tucked his head just in the nick of time and took a bump into the corner like you would for an exploder, only he did it from the other side of the ring. Alexander followed that up with an elbow and the two guys traded strikes. He kicked Lee in the head. Put an end to that. Dragon Lee came back with a German suplex. There was a standing Spanish fly that Lee took the worst end of, and Alexander got a nice near fall out of that. We also, hey Zizu, thank you for that gifted membership. Very kind of you. Chris Hogan is now a channel member. No relation, I hope. Thank you, Zizu. So the crowd at this point, they're chanting, this is awesome. They're loving what they're seeing. Even though these are not two men who are, again, pushed at a high level on this show, they got the crowd into this match. They were super into what these two were doing. Lee dropped his knee pad to charge at Cedric. Cedric, though, caught him with a Michinoku driver. Alexander went for a lumbar check, but Lee countered and caught him with a knee before finishing off with the running Destino for the win. That is his, I don't know what he calls it, but that is his finish. Basically the Naito Destino. So the fans loved it. Michael Cole was really putting Dragon Lee over hard on commentary. Kevin Owens was applauding by the time this thing was over, even though he said coming into it he didn't know too much about Dragon Lee. Triple H continues to feature this man very prominently here on this show. They gave him a video package even before the match started. So they're really going all in with Dragon Lee. You know, a match with Cedric Alexander, you would look at that and think, well, yeah, Cedric isn't somebody on the show who's featured prominently. I mean, he's barely featured at all. In fact, the only times we've seen him on TV have been these past few weeks when he wrestled him the first time, and then tonight again he was in the ring with Dragon Lee. So it may not seem like much, like, oh, come on, they're putting him in the ring with a guy who's barely on television, but it's all about building up Dragon Lee. That's what this is. Putting him in the ring with somebody who can help make him look good. Not that he needs help being made to look good, but he's the right opponent for him. He goes in there. He has a hard-fought match. He gets to show off his offense, which, of course, he's able to dazzle the crowd with it because, you know, he could take these amazing bumps and he does these amazing moves. I mean, anybody who knew about Dragon Lee before he came to NXT, you knew the kind of talent that he was. And there's always a fear that when these guys come over to WWE, they're going to have to tone down their style. Now, for some of them, that's a good thing. Frankly, some of them should tone down their style a little bit. You got Vikingo over in the AEW making appearances, and he's making appearances everywhere, but you got Rey Mysterio saying he's a huge fan of Vikingo, and he's tried to tell him, slow down. You can't keep that breakneck style up. It will wear down your body, and it already is. He's already dealing with nagging injuries. So for some guys, that's a good piece of advice, frankly, for them to live by. But it does make me wonder about somebody like a Will Ospreay or even a Julia, right? There's interest in WWE bringing Julia over to the company. She wrestles a pretty stiff style over there in Stardom. I don't think that a lot of the people they put her in the ring with in WWE, outside of people like Io, right, and Kairi, who know all about that style, are necessarily going to want to work with somebody who works like that. So if they come over to WWE, they're not going to work the same way that you see them working in Stardom or New Japan or some of these other promotions. But Dragon Lee has been able, my point in all that, Dragon Lee has been able to adapt very well. He still goes out there. He's able to hit all of his moves. They look crisp. They look good. And Triple H has done, I think, a very good job so far in featuring him. And honestly, a match like this against someone like Cedric, right, talented as he is, he's not a big name on the roster. This is how it used to be done. On the syndicated show, when I was growing up, and I would watch Superstars or Wrestling Challenger, if you were an NWA fan, you watched the Power Hour, whatever it was, this is how it used to be. You know, you would want to feature somebody, you would put them in the ring. Usually it was just a job guy, and it was in and out in 2 minutes. This was a competitive back-and-forth match. But it beats the hell out of how they debut a lot of other people, where you put them on television and their very first match is against a top star. Or their very first match is against somebody who's already well established on the roster. And half the time, they don't even win. Right? It used to be about putting them in there with somebody they could beat. They get to show off their moves, their finishing maneuver. So I like it. I think it's the right way to go about doing things.
This week's episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Now, if you've never heard of data brokers, let me school you. They're basically the middlemen for collecting and selling all of those digital footprints that you leave behind. And they can piece together detailed profiles that include your browsing history, your online searches, and even your location data. And then they turn around and they sell your profile off to a company that delivers you a targeted ad. And that sounds all well and good until you learn that those same data brokers are also selling your information to the Department of Homeland Security and even the IRS. I pay enough to the tax man. I don't need him knocking on my door. So to mask my digital footprints, I protect myself with ExpressVPN. One of the easiest ways for brokers to tie your data back to you is through your device's unique IP address. We all have one, at least one, depending on how many devices we have. And they reveal information about your location. So when you're connected to ExpressVPN, your IP address is hidden, which makes it much harder for prying eyes to be able to figure out who you are. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of network traffic to keep your data safe from hackers on public Wi-Fi. That's why I use ExpressVPN on all my devices, phone, computer, even my Wi-Fi router. All I do is tap one button to turn it on, and I'm protected. It's that easy. So make sure your online activity and data is protected with the best VPN money can buy. Visit expressvpn.com/solomonster right now and get 3 extra months free through my special link. That's expressvpn.com/Solomonster. expressvpn.com/Solomonster to learn more.
Now we had LA Knight one-on-one against Grayson Waller. Before the match, Knight got on the microphone. They gave him promo time. Always a good sign. He said Crown Jewel did not go exactly as he had hoped for. It went about the way I think that every single person on this stream right now thought it would go. And he said, look, I could tell you that I'm sorry. I could tell you that I didn't live up to expectations. The fans started chanting, yes, you did. He said, well, I'm not going to say any of that because that would make me a damn liar. Because I did what I said I would do. I took Roman Reigns to within an inch of that championship. I dropped him with a BFT, and I had him for the 1-2-3, if not for Jimmy Uso. He said he got robbed. But Roman Reigns, let me tell you this right now. Take every dollar you've got and give Jimmy Uso a raise. He goes, give Jimmy a promotion. Because the bottom line, I think he said bottom line. I wrote bottom line. I think he said bottom line. All right, that hits a little too close to home here. But the bottom line is, now he said, but the bottom line is if he, that's funny. He goes, if he isn't there, Jimmy that is, then you're looking at a new WWE champion at Crown Jewel. Some people might be thinking, oh, well, yeah, you got to go to the back of the line now. He goes, huh? No, that's not how it's going to be. He goes, I'm not done with the bloodline, and the bloodline is not done with me. Not until I own Roman Reigns and I own the WWE Championship. So Grayson Waller interrupted. He said that Knight is blaming everyone but himself. So what he needs is a little bit of honesty, because the truth is, maybe you're just not the guy. But he knows someone who is. And Knight said, oh, look, everybody, it's Kangaroo Jackass. Waller said that he had a question he needed an answer for. Do you really think that you belong in the ring with Roman Reigns? The crowd chanted, yeah. Knight had a question for everybody. Said, the Grayson Waller effect. That sounds like some sort of STD, right? Because this guy, he got dropped by a Saudi movie star, Crown Jewel, right? And he's out here asking if I belong in the ring with Roman Reigns. He said Waller had his $5 haircut and looked like he was ready for his school pictures. The only problem is when he looks at him, he gets the feeling he's not allowed within 50 yards of a school. You creep. But let's be honest. He got his match with Knight tonight because he was playing around on the internet. Because I think he posted the, Waller posted a video on social media challenging him to a match. So he said, you could take the boy out of his mother's basement, but you can't take the mother's basement out of his boy. Out of his boy. That doesn't make any sense. You could take the boy out of his mother's basement, but you can't take the mother's basement out of the boy. There you go. That's what it. See, that's why he's in the ring cutting promos and I'm not. That's why. So he did his catchphrase and he hit Waller in the face with the microphone when Waller tried to take a cheap shot. Waller crawled outside over by the announce desk, and Knight went over and took Kevin Owens' water bottle, and he splashed it on Grayson Waller. And this pleased Kevin Owens to no end, because, of course, he's had beef with Waller in theory now for the last few weeks. But remember, he can't get physical, because if he does, he gets suspended. So Knight got back in the ring to finish his catchphrase, and that took us into the commercial break. It only took 2 minutes. For LA Knight to get his heat back after that big loss at Crown Jewel, after losing to Roman Reigns. The fans were still with him, for anyone who actually doubted that they would be. Fear not. All the people who worried that this is the end of LA Knight, or LA Knight is buried, anybody with a brain wasn't saying that. But for the people who did, you worried for nothing. He's going to be fine. He is not going to be challenging for the championship. At WrestleMania, the championship, but he will be challenging for a championship at WrestleMania against someone who, by the time we get there, people are going to be itching to see anybody step up and beat Logan Paul. And I believe that man is going to be LA Knight. Kevin Owens will probably get the first shot, maybe at the Royal Rumble, but I think LA Knight gets the shot at WrestleMania. So Knight had control early, and he hit his slingshot shoulder block that he does for a one count. Waller hit a discus elbow and then took control. Knight back body dropped him over the top to the outside, and then he slammed Waller's head repeatedly off the lid of the announce table over and over again. Hey, Crazy Gacy says he's in the UK. It is 4:15 in the morning. He is at work listening to this review. But why are you at work at 4:15? What do you do? Holy shit. 4:15 in the morning. Well, that is dedication, I'll say that. Instead of doing his work, he's listening to this review. He's watching this show. Thank you, brother. So after a break, Waller had control. And he was working a single leg crab in the middle of the ring. He went to the second rope, and he hit an elbow for a two count. Waller went back to the well one too many times, and this time Knight rolled out of the way. Waller crashed and burned. Waller went for his rolling cutter, but Knight countered into a back suplex. And with the two back on their feet, Knight hit a leaping clothesline, a Russian leg sweep, and a DDT. This is impossible, by the way, because I do have some people who will email me and tweet me and tell me that LA Knight can't wrestle. This is what these people tell me. Apparently, they're talent scouts. The man can't wrestle. I don't know. It's kind of funny to me. I'm watching him do wrestling moves in the ring. I'm a little confused. I mean, am I missing something here? These are wrestling moves, are they not? I guess not for some people. So Waller jumped at Knight. Knight caught Waller, and he does that power slam that he does. He didn't get a good grip on him. And thankfully, he just decided to body slam him instead of trying to go for the power slam and then accidentally breaking this guy's neck. So it wasn't a power slam, it was a body slam. Nobody seemed to care. He hit his elbow, and then he hit the BFT for the win. So this was a nice rebound win for LA Knight. That's all this was meant to be, and he is back to his winning ways. And now we see, you know, I don't know what they have planned for him at Survivor Series. He's going to have a match with Jimmy Uso on SmackDown next week. Let's see what happens in that match if we get a clean finish. My guess is we don't, and they're going to prolong that issue and take us into some kind of LA Knight bloodline match. Obviously, Roman Reigns won't be there, most likely, but he'll probably have some kind of involvement with the bloodline, because if not, I don't know what the hell he does, if he even has a match on the card. So it all depends on how that match with Jimmy next week plays out. We got a video of John Cena's debut from 2002, when Kurt Angle said he wanted somebody to come out and accept his open challenge, and who came out? It was John Cena. He said ruthless aggression. He went on to lose. He went to the back. The Undertaker walked up to him and was very impressed by this young kid. And he put his hand out, and they shook hands, and John Cena looked at his hand. Some say he has not washed that hand to this very day. Maybe that's why Nikki Bella couldn't be with him anymore. I don't know. But John Cena was mesmerized by The Undertaker's handshake. We go from that to Crown Jewel on Saturday, and Solo Sikoa putting the stake in the heart of John Cena and beating him with about 27 Samoan spikes. And now the question is, is John Cena done for good? Is Solo Sikoa the man who retired John Cena? That is how they are billing Solo Sikoa now. Cena putting him over now gives him that rub. It gives him that title. They can go around now for months calling him the guy who retired John Cena, the guy who retired the greatest of all time. Because John Cena is done. John Cena, for those who don't know, the Hollywood strike is now over. And John Cena even said, he was on the After the Bell podcast that WWE does, and he said, when the strike is over, I'm back to work. Like, you know, there's projects, people are depending on me, I have no control over that. So he's already said he's gone, like he's done, right? So the strike is over. Not only that, but John Cena had surgery on his arm. He went on social media, he thanked Dr. Dugas, I think it was, who I think he works, I don't know if he works with Dr. Andrews or not. But usually those are some pretty serious surgeries, and he had some kind of surgery on one of his arms, and then he made a comment about, now we got to get the other arm fixed. So it might just be a minor thing, I don't know. So between that and the fact that the strike is over, we're not going to be seeing John Cena. So until we see him again, Solo Sikoa can walk around now like a world beater because he's the guy who finally put John Cena out of WWE, right? It's a great spot for him to be in. It's a great title to be able to bestow upon him. So it all worked out well in the end, you know, with Cena putting him over as strongly as he did. And now Solo gets to go around calling himself the man who retired the GOAT, even though we know he did. They cut back to the announcers to talk about John Cena, this very solemn thing that happened at Crown Jewel. Kevin Owens, of course, he wants to cheer everybody up. And he wants to go back to the Magistrator, because one thing I didn't mention earlier is that after Grayson Waller lost, we went to the Kevin Owens Magistrator, which is something, it's a gimmick that Bobby Heenan used to have. He used to have the brain scan, and Jerry Lawler used to have the Royal Magistrator, where he would draw on screen. So Kevin Owens was doing some drawing on screen. And one of the things he did was he showed the footage from a few weeks ago of when he, with a single punch, he was able to punch Austin Theory and Grayson Waller in one fell swoop right across the face. So he showed a replay of that. He was drawing on the screen, and he was really enjoying himself. So he went back to do it again. This time, though, Theory and Waller walked out. No entrance music or anything. They just walked out from the back. They walked around the ring, over to where the announcers were, and they slapped him. They dumped a bottle of water on his head. And remember, Owens can't do anything physical, or else he'll be suspended. So they mocked him for this, and then they left. And Owens got back on headset and said, you know, I could tolerate being slapped, I could tolerate having water dumped on my head, but Cole, did they throw that, like, bottle at you? He goes, I'm sorry, guys, I gotta go get suspended. Threw the headset down, he goes to chase after them, he meets them in the aisle, beats the hell out of him, puts him back in the ring. He smacked Theory around. Theory escaped. Waller attempted to sneak attack him, but he ate a stunner instead. All I can say is I hope it's not a long suspension for Kevin Owens. But you know what? Enjoy time with your kids. Go to a zoo. Go see the animals at the zoo or something. Go to the aquarium. He likes that kind of stuff. Enjoy your time off. Kevin Owens is great at whatever they have him doing. It doesn't matter. If he's in the ring in a match, if he's doing the Kevin Owens show, if he's going to do commentary. I was very entertained by his commentary here on the show. He can do no wrong. Whatever role they put him in, he excels. So hopefully he won't be gone for too long. Jimmy Uso was shown backstage. So he was here the whole time. None of the other Bloodline members were there. No Paul Heyman, no Roman Reigns, no Solo Sikoa. Jimmy didn't have a match on the show. Apparently, he's just hanging out in the back. Jimmy said that if LA Knight wants him next week, then yeet. And then he looked at his phone. He got a call from Roman Reigns. He goes, Tribal Chief. And then he hung up the phone and he retracted his previous yeet. Because Roman Reigns doesn't like it when he yeets. And no, this does not count as a Roman Reigns appearance. I don't want to hear people saying, oh, see, Roman Reigns was on the show. No, he wasn't. It doesn't count. Main event was Charlotte, Bianca, Asuka, taking on Bayley, Io, and Kairi Sane, her first match back since coming back to WWE. This was not much of a match. It was all about the post-match. It was all about the angle that ended the match and led into the post-match. Bianca and Bayley started things out, and Bianca hit her springboard moonsault. She then hit a splash to Bayley and Io outside. Charlotte hit a big boot on Kairi and Asuka, Damage Control. And then Charlotte and Bianca posed, and that took us into a commercial break. I swear, nothing happened. Like, basically nothing happened, and we went right to a commercial. But it was the final commercial. After the break, Charlotte landed a fallaway slam on Io, who got up and tagged in Kairi. Bianca wants the tag now, because she sees that Kairi is in the ring, and so after what Kairi did to her at Crown Jewel, she wants to get into the match, so she tags in. She got a delayed vertical suplex. After some interference, though, Kairi got an arm wringer on Bianca, draped her arm over the top rope. Io then interfered from the outside to assist with tripping up Bianca. Kairi landed a running forearm to the chest in the corner and then a flying punch from the top rope. Bailey tagged in, and Bianca tried to fight her way out of the heels corner. Kairi pulled Charlotte off the apron just before Bianca could make the tag, tossed Charlotte into the ring steps. Bailey pulled on Bianca's hair to try to prevent a tag, but she hit a spine buster, and then she was reaching for the tag to Asuka, and you could see it coming from a mile away. Right? She's reaching for the tag. Asuka all of a sudden pulls her hand away, and Bianca can't understand what's going on here. And Asuka stands on the bottom rope, she leans over, and she spits mist in the eyes of Bianca Belair. And then she got in the ring, and she gave her partner a kick to the head. And she gave Kairi a big ol' hug. Put her arms out, Kairi came in and hugged her. Bailey looked confused, like she didn't know what was going on. Dakota joined in, Io joined in, finally Bailey joined in. I thought they might beat up Bailey, but she joined in. And they started putting the boots to Charlotte when she got back in the ring. So the referee decided to call the entire match off. It was a no contest. Calls the match off. This is like the sort of finish you would see back in the WCW days with the NWO. I'm not comparing what happened here to a big NWO angle, but it was similar in that you would have these matches, and then somebody would finally turn on their partner, and the WCW guy would end up, you know, taking their shirt off, and they'd be in the NWO, and we would get the big beatdown angle. This was in the same spirit as that. Shotzi runs down to the ring, and then Shotzi, of course, doesn't really make much of a difference here. She doesn't make much of a dent. Damage control got the best of her as well. Io went to the top. She hit her over the moonsault, followed by Kairi hitting her insane elbow to Bianca, which is always a thing of beauty. And the heels, now with Asuka, stood tall to end the show, showing a unified damage control, at least for the time being. And again, no official announcement from Nick Aldis. That should come next week. But you can see where we're going to get a women's War Games match and what these teams are going to look like. You will have Bailey, you will have Io, you will have Kairi, and you will have Asuka on one side. They keep it 4-on-4. On the babyface side, you've got Charlotte, you've got Bianca, you've got Shotzi, and you've got an empty spot. Who does that spot go to? Well, as I said before, Mia Yim and Zelina Vega are on the roster. Scarlett is as well. Scarlett's not wrestling. So you've got Mia doing nothing. You've got Zelina really not doing anything either, although she's occupied with LWO drama. And honestly, I'm not enamored with either one of those as options for War Games. They have nothing to do with any of this. And even the person I'm about to suggest doesn't have anything to do with it. But this is going to be a spot that likely ends up going to Jade Cargill, because it just seems like it's being set up for a big name to be put in there. Now, there was another name that popped into my head, and I don't think it's realistic, but we don't know what her status is, and that is Sasha Banks. Mercedes has been out for many months. She broke her ankle, right, and then lost to Willow Nightingale, and we really have had no updates on her condition. She has kept it very close to the vest. Apparently, even Rocky Romero and the people over at New Japan, they don't know what's going on with her either. And you would think that she, you know, would be coming back soon and would go after the title. There's no indication that she's definitely going back to wrestle for Bushiroad. Now, if Triple H made a play for her and they wanted to keep it secret, I mean, look at how hush-hush her own physical condition is be, or has been. If she wanted this to be a surprise, I don't think that her camp would want to leak anything, and WWE surely wouldn't want to leak anything. Could there be a Sasha Banks return where she teams up with Charlotte and Bianca and Shotzi and then opposes? I mean, look at all the people on the other side of the ring, right? She's got history with basically almost all of them. We know her history with Bayley. She doesn't really have any history with Io, but Kairi she does, right? She's been in the ring with Kairi before. So it would be obviously a big deal if they got her back. I think it's wishful thinking, but that name did occur to me as well. I think it's more realistic that it ends up being Jade. I think Jade is going to get the spot, and we'll probably have a 4-on-4 women's match, but here's what I'm intrigued by, okay? Whatever the teams end up being, we know that it's only a matter of time before Bayley is booted out of Damage Control, right? They're just humoring her based on what they told her in that promo earlier. Oh, we're only doing it for you, right? We want to take some of the burden off of you. In the War Games match, I could see a situation where Bayley loses the match for her team. That could be what leads to her being excommunicated from Damage Control. She's now the weak link. She gets kicked out. She goes babyface, because Bayley has been a heel now for about 4 years. I think it was 2019 when she chopped up the Bayley buddies and she went heel, and she's been a heel ever since. What I like about this is that Asuka and Bayley are two people who really do need a shakeup of some kind. So putting Asuka in the heel group and aligning her with the other Joshi wrestlers, I like that. I like her being with Kairi again. I like her being with Io. They don't really need Bayley. You could just put the three of them together as a trio, and that would be just fine, right? That's a pretty impressive group of talent right there. Asuka being heel, great, right? She needs something different too. Bayley also could use a fresh coat of paint. Let's say that happens, and she gets kicked out of Damage Control. Maybe they do a big injury angle with her. As we look ahead towards WrestleMania season, I really haven't given that much thought to the Women's Royal Rumble. Everybody talks about the Men's Royal Rumble. LA Knight's going to win, or CM Punk is going to come. CM Punk, I know, I almost said that with a straight face. But they think that he's going to come back and win the Royal Rumble. Like, all these different ideas. Cody's going to, you know, repeat. Gunther's going to win. But the Women's Royal Rumble is interesting. There really is no obvious, I think, favorite pick right now for the Women's Rumble. I don't think Bayley would really be at the top of people's lists. But if Bayley gets kicked out of the group and comes back as a babyface, I think you got to put Bayley as the early favorite to win the Women's Royal Rumble, and then she goes on to WrestleMania to challenge Io for the championship. I could see things playing out that way. But if she turns babyface, gets kicked out, let's say, then comes back as one, I think you got to put her on the list as one of the early favorites to win the Women's Royal Rumble next year, right? Something that she's never done before. We'll see. We'll see how it all plays. Oh, man. Yeah, I amuse myself sometimes with some of these very funny jokes. CM Punk going to come back and win the Royal Rumble match. That'll be the day. Anyway, this was an enjoyable episode of SmackDown, even with some of the big names that were missing. But again, I do question the intelligence of putting your top titles on people who evidently are not going to be on the show much. I think that's very dumb. Right now, you guys have, wow, look at that, 80% thumbs up, almost 81 for SmackDown tonight. 19% thumbs down. That is an overwhelmingly positive score. That is the high score of the week. Beats Raw and it beats Dynamite. People seem to like SmackDown about as much as I did, which is good. SmackDown can be very hit or miss. I am hopeful, though, now with Triple H anointing a general manager for the show. There'll be a more focused effort to finally move some new stories along on the show. I mean, we still have the bloodline here, but I'm optimistic about the future of SmackDown. I'm hopeful. SmackDown has been very hit or miss for many months now. You can have one really great episode and then have two or three kind of boring, nothing going on episodes. Tonight was one of the good ones. Arabian Knight, why would it make Sasha look bad if she returned? I think we all kind of knew that inevitably she probably would return to the company. So even if it doesn't happen now, she'll be back in WWE. I don't know of anybody who honestly believes that she is never going to go back to WWE. Especially now that Vince is out of the picture, at least for the time being. I think Triple H, as he is more firmly ensconced in his role. I think that bodes well for someone like Sasha Banks eventually being more open to a comeback. We are, what are we, one like away from Be the Booker. Really? Or two, maybe three. I don't know. We're close, though. We're close to our goal. Hey, Groovy Goose, thank you for the $4.99. Random question. Did you or anyone you know attend Woodstock 99? The Miz was there as a fan, apparently. You could have met him pre-Real World. I did not meet The Miz, and I did not go to Woodstock. 69 or 90. DEH Sires, Sasha would fit in perfectly. Well, there you go. We were just talking about it. The Real CSO2, in my opinion, SmackDown has sucked for a while now. Outside of the Escobar turn, nothing really piqued my interest. I saw that Asuka turn a mile away. Well, there you go. You go from 80% thumbs up for SmackDown to SmackDown suck. But that's why everybody has their own opinion. So he didn't like SmackDown. The Asuka turn was very predictable, but that doesn't make it bad. I think it was the right move to make. Aussie of Steel, I'm donating this money to help support the cure for dumb babyface syndrome after tonight's main event. Bianca, I guess Sasha on the brain now. Charlotte Bianca should have seen that coming. I agree. Booba with the $9.99. Question for you. I know that you do hog with JD, and I've seen you on other shows like Don Tony's show. How often do you talk or engage with other pro wrestling streamers and podcasts? Thank you. Quite often, actually. Quite often. Sometimes on social media, sometimes privately, but I'm friendly with a lot of other content creators. I really get along with everybody. There's only one person I can't even say I never. We work together briefly. But there's really only one content creator that I kind of had a falling out with and didn't care much for because he turned out to be a piece of shit. So I get along with everybody. Wild Bird, delicious turkey and chicken. Boy, you're adding too much now. Now you're adding too much. I have a feeling in love with... I have fallen in love with Damage Control. I love me some Bad Girls. I can't resist. Get me some water, Solid Monster. Well, you get your own water. Damage Control tonight is... All right. You know, you're out of control here. Control yourself. DEH says, in dream scenario, you have Damage Control versus Bianca, Charlotte, Jade, and Sasha. And if Julia signs with WWE by WrestleMania, the women's division might be their best. She is not signing with WWE by WrestleMania. As far as we know, she is under contract with Stardom, I think, through March. And so, unless she came out of WrestleMania and waved high... That is not going to happen. What face? I'm just going to call him What Face because that's... What do you do with that, right? $7 from What Face. Asuka, Io, and Kairi in one group is everything I have ever wanted. Let's fucking go. Also, for future reference, my name is pronounced White... Well, there you go. See, sometimes I have to read through it and then it gives me my answer. So it is not... What face? It is White Face. All right. I guess that does make... Now that I look at it, I guess that does make sense. I will warn you, though, I still might fuck it up. No guarantees. Holiday 197. Tonight felt like a total filler show from beginning to end. A filler show? Given the top two angles on the show, I don't know that I would call it a filler episode. I don't think that's the right word to use. You had a major angle with the LWO and a turn by Santos Escobar, and you had a turn by Asuka in the main event, adding her to Damage Control. I wouldn't call that filler. maybe some of the other segments, but I wouldn't use that word to describe tonight's show. You don't remember Lee? I do remember that from the AOL days, bro. And when everybody would write great with the number 8 in it. Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. The Winston slip. Jade is green and needs time to improve in the ring. Well, look, there's a reason why I pitched her for NXT when she first signed with WWE, but they're gonna strap the rocket to her and launch her into the stratosphere, so that's what they're gonna do. Corey Blake, first Eddie and then Batista. Dominic and now Santos. Why does Rey Mysterio continue to trust people? It's Survivor Series filler. You could ask the same question about Sting. Why would Sting trust the Horseman so much? Because he's an idiot. So is Ray. Nick Grosso. Thank you for the $9.99. Great turn by Asuka, and Bayley is getting the Edge treatment. But what does Dakota do? I think she stays with the group to be a mouthpiece for them because of the language barrier. I think you may be right. I think that would make sense. Paul Carpenter. I was at a house show on Saturday. Carlito with Cruz del Toro against the Prophets. His music was actually pretty good. I think it just needs to be a little faster and something in the beginning. Yeah, well, until they make those changes, it's no good. I am not a fan. Bobbert Reviews. Thank you for the $25 super chat. Sean D. Dom was right. Then we cheered Ray beating him like he wasn't an absentee father before that. What does that say about us? Wild Bird. If only Bailey told the Columbus crowd Ohio State sucks. And free Jim Harbaugh. Arabian Night. I don't think they can drag out the match with Ray and Santa. You see Bad Bunny getting involved and having some sort of tag, maybe involving Dominic as well. Dominic has nothing to do with this. I mean, they could always circle back to it. If Bad Bunny were to be available for WrestleMania, they're definitely going to want to use him. And then, yes, I could see some sort of a tag situation, maybe Ray and Bad Bunny. You know, I don't know. I mean, again, you could work Dominic in there between now and WrestleMania. I don't see it. If Carlito were to go heel, if Carlito and Escobar were to somehow end up, you know, on the heel side together, you could do that as a tag match, maybe. It all depends on Bad Bunny's availability. If he's available, then yes, I could see that. But if he's not, I think you could definitely get to Rey and Santos at WrestleMania. Look, people said the same thing about Ray and Dom, right? And they stalled and they stalled and they stalled and they got there. So you can't say that they won't be able to get there. Devin from NJ, I'm going to my high school reunion in 2 weeks. When they ask me what I have been doing, I only give them 3 letters, the GWO, before I walk off. That's it. That's how you do it. You leave those pretentious people to wonder, what the hell does that mean? What is the GWO, right? They're going to be so annoyed. They're not going to know what you're talking about. Bobbert, thank you for the $18. DJ Pharaoh says free Alex Hammerstone. That's right, being held hostage by MLW. I have an MLW story about some other talents that were released that is just completely ridiculous. I'll talk about that on the podcast on Sunday. Kiddo Hudson, I took 3 cold showers, but I don't think it helps. Then go watch an episode of The Golden Girls. I think that'll calm you down. Nasir Alexander, Asuka 100 heel turn, don't hit the same. I don't know what you just said, but I'll agree. I have no idea. DJ Pharaoh, the person under the devil mask is Samoa Joe. Just kidding. Any chance it could be a woman? No. No, it is not. Unless, MJF is wrestling them. No. Not a woman. DJ Pharaoh says, Carlito against Lashley, straight out of the Ruthless Aggression era. SmackDown versus Raw 2007 type match. Neither man has aged. It really did. It felt like a flashback. Arabian Night, why did Kevin Owens go to SmackDown? Still seems odd with no direction. That is a good question. It is not yet apparent if they have a bigger plan for him in mind, or if it was just a case where they just said, you know what? We have a story for Sami Zayn. We're going to go in a different direction with him, and we need to come up with someone who is going to be traded for Jey Uso, and they just settled on Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens is someone who's very pliable. I mean, you can pretty much move him around wherever you need him. It's a great talent to have in that way. He could be a babyface. He could be a heel. And so I think they just said, you know what? Let's just go back to KO, right? We need somebody, and we'll go to Kevin Owens, and we know he'll be able to deliver. I think they have a bigger story in mind for Sami Zayn with the World Heavyweight Championship. And Kevin Owens just didn't fit into that plan. And one other reason, by the way, if it wasn't going to be Cody, you move Jey Uso over to Raw, you have to replace him with another babyface. So that's another reason why. The Real CS says, say what you want about him, but CM Punk knows how to get people talking. First leading into the WWE rumors and the AEW devil angle. Yes. Well, when you're not currently employed, you have nothing better to do. What you do is you leave comments on social media. It's smart. He's having fun with people. But I mean, outside of his occasional gig doing commentary on the MMA shows, I don't think he's really doing anything. So, you know, he has time to fuck with people. Anis, will CM Punk finish the story and finally run away with the WWE belt and never to be seen again? No, he will not. Now, the story would be him finally getting that WrestleMania main event. Now they have two nights. If he came back to the company, he would end up getting a WrestleMania main event. The Carlosis with the $11 super chat. Question. Was there any news or whispers about Edge returning before he came back and won the Royal Rumble? Asking because it's the last time I was truly surprised about a return. Yes. Yes, there were rumors about Edge. In fact, I think I talked about them on the podcast. That would have been late 2019. I think the rumors started after he gave Elias that spear. I think it was on the SummerSlam pre-show. That was the first time we saw him really get physical like that. And I think that's what got people talking. And then there were some rumors about it. And Boney, I don't mind Logan as the U.S. champ, but I think Solo is a better fit, and it would be better for LA Knight to beat him instead. Yeah, but I think they like the marquee value, though, of having that belt on Logan Paul. You saw the footage they showed of him, right? The TMZ story, they had pictures online of him in bed with his girlfriend or his fiance, whatever, and he was sleeping with the belt. He was shirtless at the gym working out, had the belt around his waist. Like, that's why they put the belt on him. You know, they wanted to get that out there. They wanted to get that image and that video of him, you know, with the championship. When he does his podcast, I'm sure the belt will be right there with him. I said it was front page news on TMZ.com on Saturday, before the show was even over. That was the lead story on TMZ. And it got picked up by other media outlets. That's why they did what they did. That's why they signed him in the first place. Hey, DJ Pharaoh, thank you. It says, Hammer and Holiday should join MJF and AEW. I suggested the same thing. They used to be together. Holiday and MJF were together. They had a faction going in MLW many years ago. Oh, he's married. Okay. I thought he was still engaged. So I guess Logan Paul is officially married. All right. Well, mazel tov. Arabian Knight has a super chat coming in here. What percent Do you see CM Punk returning by WrestleMania 40? Also, could Kevin Owens be his opponent? If not, I don't see any opponent for KO. He's main evented the last two Manias. Yeah, he could retire now. He's gotten his two WrestleMania main events, one of which was against Stone Cold Steve Austin. So he doesn't have to do anything for the rest of his career. It's kind of hard to top those two things, I think. Yeah, I mean, look, if Punk were to come back, I think Owens would be an obvious opponent for him. I think the promos would be absolute fire between them. If he were to come back in time for WrestleMania, you know, some people have suggested Seth Rollins. As long as Rollins is the world heavyweight champion, I just don't see that, because you're not going to have Punk come back and immediately get a title match. That would be idiotic. So I think by process of elimination, you would be looking at someone like a Kevin Owens. I think that would probably be the person who makes the most sense. But again, it's a situation where they don't need him. And it's going to be an endeavor call at the end of the day. It's a cost-benefit analysis that they will run. Do the potential benefits outweigh the potential pitfalls? Not only that he'll implode, or there'll be something he doesn't like and causes headaches. But again, there's a lot of people in that company, including top stars, who don't want him there. And is it worth ruining the harmony of your locker room to bring in somebody that you don't need? But as I said on the sound off, you're always one big injury away from needing somebody like CM Punk. So if they don't have any interest in him now, and he's not going to be at Survivor Series in Chicago, and he really truly is not in the plans, God forbid, Roman Reigns gets hurt, another big star goes down, right? Maybe even one on each brand. They get bit by the injury bug, it happens. All of a sudden, CM Punk becomes a lot more attractive, even though he also, seemingly in his AEW run, the freak injuries, right? I mean, who's to say that at his age and his state, he doesn't come back and get hurt too? I mean, remember, he shattered his foot and then he tore his fucking triceps and he was gone. He would have been gone for 9 months anyway. So it's not as if that you can rely on the fact that if you bring in CM Punk, he's going to be able to stay healthy and not get hurt. Like I said, it's a cost-benefit analysis they have to make. This guy does not need... He doesn't need WWE, and WWE doesn't need him. I'm sure CM Punk has saved his money. But if he wants to wrestle, and he wants to make real money doing it, he doesn't have a lot of options. You know, if he wants to pop in on some indie shows or work a short stint in Impact or something, if he wants to take Billy Corgan up on his offer and a vegan sandwich and go work for the NWA, if it airs on the CW app, because they're not getting fucking television now, he could do that. He pretty much can do whatever he wants, right? He's in a very unique position where he doesn't need the money. It's not like he's destitute and he has to work for the paycheck. Ultimately, that's up to him. But if you are looking at WWE and AEW, he doesn't have a lot of options right now. All right, the goal for Be the Booker tonight was 401. Why 401 and not 400? Because I fucking said so. And you guys smashed it. You smashed the goal. I love it. I knew you would. So let's go ahead and Be the Booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to Be the Booker.
You guys have delivered, so I shall deliver to all of you. In the form of Be the Booker, Friday Night SmackDown Edition. All right. Look at this. You even got me in the corner of your screen now. You get a little reaction box, too. How do you like that? See, I'm always making upgrades here on the stream. All right, we're going to start out here with Men's Be the Booker. And we are going to begin. Get your guns out. It's Cash Wheeler. Carry and conceal, or conceal and carry. Conceal and carry. Cash Wheeler. Don't piss him off when he's on the road. There you go. Cash Wheeler. One half of FTR, the former AEW Tag Team Champions. And it'll be Cash Wheeler stepping into the ring with Roderick Strong. Adam! He's still chanting for Adam. Look at this poor bastard. He still has the neck brace on. He'll never be healed. This poor sap over here. Good match, though. Good wrestling match. I placed that right in the middle, right firmly in the middle of my undercard. This is where that match goes. All right, let's go to the ladies' side. Here we go. What do we got here? I'm feeling good about this. I'm feeling good. If I was in Vegas, I'd be putting all my money down on this. I'm putting everything on this match right now. My life savings. I'm putting everything down on this women's match. Well, all right. Well, we start out here with Nikki Cross. All right. I just lost a little bit of money, but that's okay. I still have most of my chips on the table here. Nikki Cross. Going to go one-on-one with Allison Kay. Nikki Cross and Allison. You know what? I tell you what. Kind of a weak match as far as like star power. But I feel like in the ring, I feel like it would be a pretty decent match. Feel like that would be a decent enough match. So I get to keep all my money. My money is safe. That's good. But now I think we go for broke here with the tag teams. A lot of divided opinion about that match in the chat. It is a mid-card match. That's true. But we could, if we come up with a main event level match here with the tag teams, we have our main event match. And then we have some solid mid-card matches. All we need is a main event here. We need a main event. I'm putting it back down. I'm putting all my chips in. Here we go. We begin with Money Incorporated, the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, and Irwin R. Scheister. I'm taking my money back. I don't want my money going to this fucking guy over here. He already takes enough of my money every fucking year. Start hiding it in my mattress. All right, here we go. Money Inc. I always liked Money Inc. I think Money Inc is an underrated team. I don't think they get enough love. I enjoyed their run together. Money Incorporated against Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. The Shield. Money Inc. and The Shield. What do you think? Main event, right? Main event tag team championship match? I think so. There you go. Drinks on me, everybody. I get to keep my little fortune. Drinks on me tonight at the bar. There you go. And that is B the Booker. How about that? We went 3 for 3 tonight. A little questionable on the women's match, I admit, but a solid undercard match there. Cameron Spencer, deathmatch wrestling is barbaric. It's not wrestling at all. It sucks. People who are fans of it should be ashamed of themselves. Well, that is certainly a very straight to the point opinion there from Cameron Spencer. Look, I'm not a fan of deathmatch wrestling either, right? He's talking deathmatch, so I assume he's talking light tubes and barbed wire and buckets of blood and all that kind of stuff. You know, C4, FMW type shit. FMW, CZW. I'm assuming you're not talking about Extreme Rules in WWE, which is, that's the WWE version of hardcore. Yeah, deathmatch wrestling is not my thing either. I don't like it. Obviously, a lot of people do. Good for them. It's not for me. My rant on GCW. I did review that one GCW pay-per-view when they ran Hammerstein, and it went so well, they never did another one. That was their opportunity. They had a huge opportunity with that show, and they shit the bed with that one. Dr. Bropio, yes, C4 as in explosive C4. Did you not see the Cactus Jack Terry Funk matches? Or any of the Onita matches? You know what they should do? You want to do something really hardcore? If you ever saw Two? The second Saw movie, one of the traps, the needle pit, if you saw the movie, you know what I'm talking about. Should do something like that. You know, WWE used to have the buried alive match. You'd have this shallow grave, put the person in the grave, dump dirt on top of them. They should do a match, a pit of needles. Got to throw your opponent into the pit of needles. Well, I don't think Cameron Spencer would like that very much. Josiah Ball, thank you for the $2, Josiah, one of our channel members. I appreciate that very much. Winston says, real pro wrestling is hard enough without the damn or without the deathmatch weapons. Silver Tower, where have you been? Holy shit, look who it is, everybody. Look who popped up out of nowhere. It is our boy.
Too sweet to be sour. It's Silver Tower.
Just gifted 10 memberships like a banshee. Came out of nowhere. Just like that, we have 10 new members of our family here. 10 new channel members. Thank you, Silver Tower. I hope you're doing well. I hope that you are having a wonderful holiday season. We're heading into Thanksgiving. We're heading into Christmas. This is a great time of year if you want to gift channel memberships. I'm just saying, it is the season of giving. He's getting us started the right way here. It is that time of year. Well, this has been fun. Again, I enjoyed this episode of SmackDown, and we're heading into now episode 834 of the Sound Off coming up on Sunday. A lot of news to get into. NXT going to the CW, Vince McMahon news, NWA news, among other things. And then next week, we're going to be live for all the usual streams on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Those are the nights that I go live if you're new here. We go live on YouTube after Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown. Occasionally, if I'm feeling froggy, I might after Collision, but these days, what's the point? So the next time I'll be live with you will be Monday night after Raw. And check out all the other content on the channel. Got a bunch of clips up this week from last week's podcast, some good segments there. And if you haven't already done so, hit the like button on your way out. And make sure that you have notifications turned on if you are subscribed. That way, when I go live and when there is new content uploaded to the channel, you will be notified and you'll know exactly where to go. So, thank you, guys. I will see you back here on Monday. Until then, be well. Stay safe. 16 years. We are celebrating all month long. All November, we are celebrating 16 years of the Sound of it. Take care.